and beauty and everything that flies. It's all about the race and it's everything we know. Full down throttle, welcome to the show. Race Day Rock, it's your speedway report now. Race Day Rock, it's your facts from the tracks. Race Day Rock, it's the speedway report now.
Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. USAC concludes its Eastern Storm in Pennsylvania. The World Endurance Championship holds round three by going twice round the clock in Le Mans. And can anyone name us a single driver that has won a World of Outlaws A-Main and a NASCAR Cup race in the same week? Well, all this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, June 19th, 2017. From the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us for the fastest half hour in racing on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag until the top of the hour. I hope our audience had a wonderful Father's Day yesterday. I sure did. I hope everybody else did down there. It was a glorious Sunday here on the Lake Norman area. Hope all the dads out there had a great day, the grandfathers, the uncles, the single moms, whatever family member you are that you're taking up responsibility for a child, God bless you. You're making the world a better place. One of my favorite Father's Day memories, a tradition, probably some of the good portion of our audience will remember these, the old CBS broadcasts from the Michigan International Speedway, the annual Michigan 400. It typically falls on Father's Day, would roll up to dads or back in those days of CBS. I lived there for a lot of years still. A couple steaks on the grill, some cold libations, and we would watch Ken Squire call the action from the Michigan International Speedway. Times have rolled on. We're different networks, different racing. My dad just passed away several years ago, but you can't ever take away those memories. So hopefully some of you have some great Father's Day dad's memories that you're connecting through racing and will carry through for years in the future. Trust me, hold on to those. Keep hold of those good memories of you and Dad. Let's jump right into the Speedway Report Victory Lane Lap for our Father's Day racing weekend. Tell you who won what. We've got some pretty interesting stories that cropped up over the weekend. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, as we said, was in Michigan. The 400-miler yesterday was won by Kyle Larson. Saturday's Xfinity Series event was won by Denny Hamlin by just a whisker over William Byron. The trucks race Saturday night at Gateway in St. Louis, where John Hunter Nemechek, son of Joe, took the checkered flag in an unsponsored ride, kind of a David and Goliath story there, as little John Hunter beats the the super teams of the truck series. NASCAR's Whelen Modified Tour ran last Wednesday in Thompson, Connecticut. Ryan Preece took the checkered flag there. And the NHRA spent their Father's Day in Bristol, Tennessee. In Top Fuel, lo and behold, lordy, lordy, Clay Milliken finally gets his first win. It was his 254th Top Fuel start, ninth career final round. The other eight, he went home as the runner-up. Yesterday, Father's Day 2017, Clay Milliken will be remembered as an NHRA Top Fuel winner. Ron Capps took home Funny Car, and Alex Laughlin won Pro Stock yesterday. Jumping over to the dirt tracks, Lucas Oil Late Models held their annual Clash at the Mag in Columbus, Mississippi. Mike Marlar had himself a pretty good night. He set fast time in time trials, won his heat race, and in the 60-lap main event, he took home the checkered flag and $12,000. World of Outlaw Late Models battled Mother Nature a little bit on Saturday night in Brighton, Ontario. Brandon Shepard took the checkered flag, but last night in Cornwall, they did get rained out. They move ahead and are racing in the Northeast even tomorrow night in Pennsylvania. I believe McKeon County Speedway tomorrow night, and they'll be racing later this week in Lernerville. Meanwhile, the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars were up in the Great Midwest, North Midwest, last Tuesday night in Eagle, Nebraska. Went to one of my highlights. We'll recall that. Who has won a cup race and a World of Outlaw A-Main in the same week? I don't know if anybody has. I couldn't find it yet, but Kyle Larson won Tuesday in Eagle, Nebraska with a last lap pass to win the sprint car main there. Comes home Sunday winner in Michigan. So, you know, wow, that's some versatility there. That's the days of another cut of Tony Stewart, of A.J. Foyt, that type of race car driver. Kyle Larson, incidentally, a guest, right here on this show several years ago when it was K&N Pro Series East days. But that's pretty impressive feat to win in a sprint car and a cup car in the same week. The tour also ran in Grand Forks, North Dakota on Friday night, where David Gravel, the Connecticut native, took the checkered flag there. And the tour was rained out Saturday night in West Fargo, North Dakota. The ARCA Tour ran Friday, well, late afternoon, early evening in Michigan. Brandon Jones was the winner there. And the USAC machines were up in Pennsylvania in the Northeast for the Eastern Storm. The Silver Crown cars, let's see if I put the week together properly, raced Friday night at Williams Grove, and Cody Swanson won that feature. But the sprint cars were the main highlight of the week. Last Tuesday at Grandview Speedway in Pennsylvania, Brady Bacon was your winner. On Wednesday at Lincoln Speedway, Thomas Messerall won. Thursday night, the sprint cars were also at Williams Grove. Kevin Thomas Jr. won. On Saturday night, Chris Windham won in Port Royal. And last night in Susquehanna, Tyler Courtney took the checkered flag, where Saturday night's Port Royal winner, Chris Windham, is the 2017 Pennsylvania USAC Eastern Storm Week champion. Grandview, Pennsylvania also ran their regular modified race on Saturday night. Brett Cressley won the small block feature there. Local to me, the Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, got qualifying and practice in, but those summer thunderstorms came through, rained out. They will try again this Saturday night. The biggest international race, the 24 Hours of Le Mans, won by Porsche, but not the lead ride. The car that won was driven by Timo Bernard, Brendan Hartley, and Earl Balmer. They won LMP1 and the overall win. There's a great story behind this. LMP2 was won by Jackie Chan's DC Racing. Yeah, Jackie Chan, the actor. Yes, he owns, that's his race team. They won LMP2. LMGTE Pro was won by Aston Martin. LMGTE Amateur was won by Ferrari and the JMW Motorsport. Now, the winning Porsche, we talked to you about this, it had front axle troubles, and it spent over an hour in the garage area and rejoined the race. Get this, in 52nd place, 18 laps behind the leaders, and it took them almost the entire race to get back on the lead lap. They took the lead in the 23rd hour. Who did they pass? Not an LMP1 car, but that LMP2 car from Jackie Chan's racing team. They were leading overall. They still held on second overall, did win their class win. But the lead Porsche, that wasn't even the lead Porsche that won the race. The lead Porsche had trouble, did not finish. So basically, if you want to remember the Ferrari days, the Rubens Barrichello car, to Michael Schumacher's lead car, actually won the 24 Hours of Le Mans. Let's talk about the GTE Pro class here. This was a thriller. This looked like a stock car race right down to the end of this thing. Heartbreaking loss for Corvette. Jordan Taylor was behind the wheel. They were duking it out literally with an Aston Martin driven by Johnny Adam. And the two of these guys, less than 5 minutes ago on the same lap, bumping wheels and doors trying to make a pass for each other. The Aston Martin really dive-bombed a corner, washed up. Jordan Taylor dove back underneath it, retook the lead. The two of them banged together, though. And on the final lap, left front tire. Seriously, the final lap of the race, the left front tire on the Corvette goes down, causes body damage, and Taylor has to limp that car around for a third place in class. Was leading the race after 24 hours. It came down to that. Suspect is that the flat tire came from that bumping incident with the Aston Martin. But Jordan Taylor was undefeated so far with his brother Ricky in the Taylor Motorsports in IMSA action. So close to winning the 24 Hours of Le Mans for a Corvette. Great race. The end of that race, the two of those cars, the Aston Martin and the Corvette, that looked like a short track stock car race. The two of them slugging it out. I loved every minute of it. Okay, that's your results. That's your stories. Let's get to some bitching and moaning, shall we? Let's go back, jump back up to the Irish Hills of Michigan and the Michigan International Speedway. Let's talk debris cautions. Were there or weren't there? Okay, there were definitely caution flags. What the heck caused them and the late action of it? Lots of talk with this. And the pot stirred by two guys with a huge fan base, Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Tony Stewart. Dale Earnhardt Jr. says, I don't even know why we have debris cautions anymore. We already have the stages. That's the idea behind the stages. So he admits all along he knows why we have debris cautions sometime, is that the audience tunes in to those television broadcasts of NASCAR heavily when there's a restart. As soon as there's a caution flag, people jump to their TVs, watch the restart. That's where most of the action is, and the cars get strung out. People fade away from the action. You get a caution, they want to see the replay of the crash, and they tune in. Those stages do that. There's automatic caution periods. We have automatic restarts right there. That's what the stages do. Even Dale Jr. admits, why do we have debris cautions anymore? Indicating, yes, debris cautions at times, not all the time, but sometimes, sure, they're manufactured for the sake of competition. We all know this. We all see that. Not every one of them. I know. There are legit debris cautions. I got that. All sanctioning bodies, every track, everywhere should err on the side of safety. I agree with that too. But we all know there's those flub BS cautions. I get it. That last debris caution, there was a lot of people short on fuel. This aero package did not make for good racing yesterday. After the restart, that was what the most exciting part of the race was. Kyle Larson was the only guy that really could make a green flag pass for the lead on the low side. He did. I think he was the only one that did. But the aero package that they have does not, that ran Michigan yesterday, does not allow for great racing. You have the restart. It's tight. It's bunched up. They get spread out a little bit, and that dreaded aero push that we've been battling for, what, 15 years, 20 years? Gen 7, Gen 6, Gen 5, car tomorrow. I don't care. Take your chassis, take your body. That aero push is still there. It makes for lousy racing. A car closes on a car in front of them. They lose the air off the nose. The thing pushes like a dump truck, and they can't make a pass. We were not going to have a good finish at Michigan yesterday unless we had a late race caution. If we had the green flag with 40 to go, the field was going to get strung out, and that's how they were going to finish. There was not going to be good racing for the finish. Was there debris on the last caution? A lot of people say no. Tony Stewart, very vocal on Twitter. He didn't think so. He didn't think much at all. Was real pissed off about it. He didn't think so. Dale Jr. didn't get it. He didn't think so. I don't know. Just because TV doesn't show it doesn't mean it's not there. But I think one of everybody's biggest inconsistencies or biggest complaints with NASCAR is their inconsistency through the years of enforcing rules and whatnot. Competition, debris cautions. No, they suck. You don't need them. If you do need them, you need to work on your racing product. If you know you have a good product and happen to have a boring race, chalk it up to a boring race. You have boring football games sometimes. I'm cool with that. So what? If you have a boring race, that's going to happen too. Not a big deal. But this aero package, as they work through, they've had some good races with this last year and the year before. This year, no, that aero package yesterday at Michigan sucked. If it wasn't for restarts, there would be no passing whatsoever. But I did enjoy hearing Dale Jr.'s comments about this after the race, as he knows why we have debris cautions and all that. He's excited. He's, excited to go to Daytona in a few weeks for his final time for the Firecracker 400. However, I looked ahead a little bit, and I started another train of thought. And this is one big point I wanted to make tonight. I was thinking about just idle thoughts from Pat's head. Bear with me. You might like this. Dale Jr. is retiring at the end of 2017. He will be at the track. He'll be around. Might make some Xfinity starts, but he's done as a full-time Cup driver. Let's rack up the names that we've lost in Cup since the end of 2015. We will have lost Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Carl Edwards, and Greg Biffle, all since the end of 2015. We're not even halfway through 2017. This leaves the veterans of the series. You have your Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Harvick, Matt Kenseth, the Busch brothers, Denny Hamlin. those are the veterans. And I remember when all those guys came into the sport and were the new guys. That new breed, we'll give you a little cluster here. Joey Logano, Martin Truex, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, Eric Jones. Now, what we have here that is still remaining, that new breed of young guns, the veterans that we still have there, is that enough? We Dale Earnhardt Jr. was such a big name that of those five that I listed, he was the only one that was in the 2016 Daytona 500. When we begin 2018, do we need some help with NASCAR? I'm a big Ryan Blaney fan. I like all these new guys, the Kyle Larsons of the world, the Eric Joneses, but none of them have been around long enough to carry the weight, a little bit of magic and swagger of a Tony Stewart, the Jeff Gordons, the Dale Earnhardts of the world. Even the guys I listed, like a Matt Kenseth or a Denny Hamlin, do they carry enough weight and enough star power to carry the sport on their shoulders? I thought about it. I've heard some stuff in the news. The Daytona 500 as a race, not as a fix to the Monster Energy Cup Series, as a race could use a big splash, and it could get a big splash. Not a series-long splash. It's got to ride on those guys, but if you want a one-time spike, much like we had with the Fernando Alonso visit to the Indy 500 last month, we could do this. There's a couple of guys that are interested, that have made mention to it, that could add a little bit of a pop and a spike to the Daytona 500. Driver number one, he tweeted back and forth with Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch was a teammate with him at Indianapolis a few years ago. Kurt's suggestion was, I'd like to see him or sign up for the Daytona 500. The driver responded, hey, sign me up. Who was it? Marco Andretti. Marco Andretti in the Daytona 500. I would love to see that. That would add it, that not that long-term fix, but without all those big star names, could we use a big boost on the day of the 500 next year? Sure we could. Marco Andretti, one driver, and he said as much that he would like to do it. Another guy was a little critical of Fernando Alonso passing on Monaco and F1 to come to the Indy 500. He said, I don't know about the Indy 500, hello, but I would think about it for the Daytona 500. Who is it? The Russian, Daniel Kvyat. He drives for Red Bull. He would like to take a crack at the Daytona 500. Would this actually work? Scheduling-wise, possibly, yeah. During February, IndyCar and F1 are not racing. However, they are in a heavy testing schedule, IndyCar and Formula One both, in various parts of the world. I know in years past, both series have had scheduled series tests actually on the day of the Daytona 500. But would it be possible? Absolutely, it could be possible. We just passed a weekend, this past weekend and the weekend before, it's been worked out among series. Purposely or coincidentally, it's happened. The dream remains vacant with the Lucas Oil late models and the World of Outlaw late models, as well as the World 100, both races at Eldora, both big money. Lucas Oil late models and World of Outlaw late models, out of a courtesy, the sensible thing for their fans and drivers, both leave those weekends vacant. We just talked about the 24 hours of Le Mans. What happened there? A lot of Tony Kanaan and Scott Dixon, some IndyCar guys, got a chance to go over there. IMSA in the United States leaves a majority of June blank on their schedule. It leaves the guys in America a chance to go run these other big events. This can be done. I'd like Brian France and Mike Helton to get on the phone to call the FIA and Jay Fry at IndyCar. I want to see this happen. We've lost a lot of big names. This isn't a long-term fix, much like Fernando Alonso is not a long-term fix or improvement for the IndyCar world, but I'd like to see it put Daniel Kvyat and Marco Andretti in NASCAR machines for the Daytona 500. Tell them Speedway Report sent you. I want to see it happen. I think it can. Let's jump on some good news here before we get out of here tonight. The 2018 F1 calendar is on my Twitter feed. France and Germany are back on it. Billy Monger, we talked about him a few months ago. He is the teen from the United Kingdom who had a horrific accident and is a double amputee of his legs below the knees. Expected to be back, a teenager, back behind the wheel in November His eyes are on a ride in the 24 Hours of Le Mans by 2020. United Kingdom teenager, that's some maturity and some poise at a double amputee in the spring by November, back behind the wheel of a race car. Happy birthday today to Charging Charlie Jerzombek, who turns 79, and some new inductees in the USAC Hall of Fame will be inducted in July. They will be Donald Davidson, Frank Del Rio, Gene Hartley, Steve Lewis, Howard Lynn, Robbie Stanley, Steve Stapp, and Johnny Thompson. USAC Hall of Famer, congratulations all. Love you guys. Short track racing like you, open wheel, ha! That's what makes the backbone of so much motorsports. Congratulations to all. In between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our site, SpeedwayReport.com. We've got Speedway Report TV replays that are now posted on the site. On the top ribbon, just please click on the TV button, and you can watch tonight's show and archived programs. We also have columns posted from Steve Zonger, Paul Bloffus, and me, so head on over to SpeedwayReport.com. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRNN Racers Reunion, for the outstanding production work tonight and keeping us on the air. You can hear more from Jeff and our Racers Reunion family Tuesday night. That's tomorrow at 7 Eastern Time on Racing Through History. We call it the Goat Rodeo. And don't forget, Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Racers Reunion. Big thanks to everyone on our chat rooms for tuning in. It is great to be part of your family. Please go see a race at a track near you. Ovals, drag strips, road courses, they are the backbone and foundation of the auto racing world. Now, did you tune in late, or would you like to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report? I can help you. We can be viewed on demand at SpeedwayReport.com, RacersReunion.com, and on the Speedway Report Facebook page, as all shows are archived. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now, don't go anywhere. BP, JB, and BS are coming up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I am Patrick Reynolds. We will be back next Monday with news from NASCAR Cup in Sonoma, IndyCars in Road America, Modifieds at Riverhead, and short track results. Thank you all for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night, everybody.